542-1525. And if you're...
It took him...
Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed out up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful, it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. Nice to have you here with us 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And I hope your Saturday's good. I hope your whole weekend is planned with fun stuff. And maybe if we're lucky, we'll have some weather that matches our festive attitude for this weekend. 602-508-0960. If you want to talk cars, now's the time to do it. The lines are wide open. And Jeremy is standing there waiting for us to have a caller. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located in Mesa. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley, south side of the road. They've been in business for a long time. Brian and Thelma run Thompson's Auto Repair, and I think they're the second or the third generation that's been involved in the Thompson Auto Repair arena for very, very long time, since 1970 at least. They're equipped to handle all your kind of repairs, from oil changes to engine swaps, American, domestic. But the best part of that team is very much like a lot of the rest of the shops that are on our list, and that is, it's husband and wife. It's family. They get to know you, they know your name, and it's like the old gas station days where we just kind of knew who you were. Brian and Thelma are a great team. If you're looking for a car repair and you live in that geographical area and you don't already have a shop, then stop by Thompson's Auto Repair and talk to Brian or Thelma. And if you don't like what Brian says, then go talk to Thelma. This week, we started a blog at the ArizonaAZCentral.com, and it's under the cars. And we're talking about car stuff there. I know you're not interested in what I'm doing for lunch, and I'm not going to tell you anyway. But we talk about cars, and just recently the city of Phoenix said that they had a situation where this time of the year we oftentimes have people move into our area that don't have the best of intentions.
Caller Joe.
Those people come in and cause havoc. So there's an elderly couple walk out to their car in the parking lot, and there's a guy standing there with overalls on, and he says, "Oh, boy." Now, I don't know exactly what was said. I think that's kind of secret, but I'm going to guess anyway. It was, you know, your car doesn't have any steering, or your car's going to catch fire. Can you smell that, or can you smell that? Sometimes they'll dump gasoline underneath the car, and then that creates the odor. And they'll tell you that they can fix it, and then they'll take you to the bank because it's going to cost a lot of money. So they took, in individual cars, they took these two older folks to two different banks and asked them to withdraw $8,000 apiece. Well, folks, it worked. Our system worked because the bank tellers got on real quick. And they didn't get the money. The car wasn't even worth $16,000. The car wasn't even worth $8,000. But if you have elderly folks in your life, and most of us do, you might want to talk to them about those kinds of scams. And here's what I would tell my mom. Mom, if it drove in, it'll drive out. And, you know, if you're worried about the fire or whatever, then just call a cab, call a tow truck, whatever. But don't let anybody fix your car in a parking lot, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to put on a good show, they're going to take your money, and they're going to start the car up, and they've not done anything but take your money. So be careful with that. Joe, you're our first caller. We have open line 602-508-0960. But Joe, you're first. What can we do for you?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
You know, I had a guy recently that we had a car that was in an accident, but it was a damage to the rear, and it was more, you know, it was more expensive than just pounding it out. And he shows up and rings our doorbell and tells us that he can do it in 2 hours for at first it was 400, then it went to 3 to 2 to 1. And, it's hard to get rid of the guy. I finally had to tell him I was going to call the police. We didn't leave.
you're exactly right. My neighbor did the same thing years and years ago. He had a Malibu, and somebody hit the left rear quarter panel, the driver's side quarter panel, and put a pretty good dent there. Well, the guy knocked on his door, and he bought So what the guy did was, and actually I got home just as he was halfway through it. He did drill a couple of holes. He did put a slide hammer in there, and he did try to pull the dent out. But his effort was unbelievably poor. At the end of the day, then after he pulls out some metal, but not nearly enough, not what a good tech, because at the end of the day, we don't want but four or five layers of paper of Bondo on it. And of course, at this point, he's got a lot of holes in the fender. He grinds the paint off. He fills it with body putty. Now the car weighs 30 pounds more on the left side than it does the right side. The body putty could be 2-3 inches thick. Then he sands it down and he sprays a couple of dots on it and says, you're ready for paint. Well, if you go into a good body shop, they're not going to touch that car, because the first time it hits a bump, that big old piece of Bondo is going to fall out along with their paint.
So, yeah, as a matter of fact, he was wanting $200 for materials, and he was going to go around the corner and get it and come back. And yeah. I'm like, anyways, I had a question. I hope it's not outside of your range.
No, go ahead.
It's about paint, actually. I know in the early 80s they switched over to the waterborne.
Uh-huh.
Which is pretty funny, because as far as I know, the primer and the clear coater still, you know, has the HO, what is it, the reason why they went to the waterborne is I heard that the before and after, you know, the primer and the clear is still made with the old stuff, which is kind of weird. But my neighbor's got one where it's faded out in certain sections, and I'm sure it's the waterborne paint, and we were wondering if we could color sand it and maybe try to buff it out.
Well, first you have to have, I'm not quite sure that the odds are for your diagnosis. If the car was made in the 90s, and if it's a 90 anything, they had problems with the primer. And all of them had problems with the primer. They took components out of the primer to make it less expensive, and which caused everything to deteriorate rapidly. So many people back in the 90s got their cars painted. I know I had a little 90 black Blazer, and General Motors painted the whole thing for me because the paint started peeling. What it was is the primer. So you have to take it down to metal, and you have to build it back up from there. Now, then you have to put a clear coat on it, because the clear coat was part of the problem as well, because it's supposed to be UV protected, and they took the UV protection out of it. So not only did we have sun shining right through the clear coat, but we had damage associated with that. So I'm not quite sure it's a waterborne paint, because I can tell you from firsthand experience, it doesn't really make any difference if it's waterborne, or if it's solvent, or thinner, or if it's oil-based, or whatever. Once you put paint on a car and you do it right, it'll be there for a long time. Now, if it has clear coat, it won't fade for twice as long. But paint that peels typically means that the layer below it was installed improperly or defective.
Yeah, it's like a 2005 Suburban, and it's not peeling or nothing. It's just like the doors are faded and the rest of it looks okay. It just faded, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, was it ever crashed and then they just painted it, but they didn't clear coat it?
Well, that could be it. You know, recently I painted an old truck in the backyard with single-stage paint, and after I buffed it and I took a long time to wet sand it, it was like looking in a mirror. I was just so surprised.
No.
I thought I could do that to his truck.
You know, I don't know the answer. You know what I'd do if I were you? If you want to try that and want to be a good neighbor, do a small area first. And then 30 days later, you'll kind of have an idea of how well you did. But I wouldn't dive into the whole truck. Just do a small section first and see how it works.
Yeah, I still got a lot of material left from when I did my truck.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good idea.
Well, thanks for calling in, Joe. And thanks for being a good neighbor. You betcha. And we'll have some body shop experts on someday to talk about that kind of stuff, because I'm not a body shop expert. But just the other day, I was talking to Mike Pyle, who's a distributor for paint, and we were talking about this exact same thing. Color sanding, when they're done with a typical acrylic paint, the paint looks like the skin of an orange. So there's some high spots and low spots, and it's just called orange peel. That's what they call it. Well, what they do is they take a block sander, a flat piece of plastic, and they put a sandpaper on it, and they knock down the high spots. So they just sand it to a mirror finish, and they do that with water. Then after they get they call it color sanding, when they get the color down to where it's flat, then they clean it up, and then they clear coat it. And that's when you have the really, really beautiful, long-lasting, beautiful, beautiful paint job. However, that's also the most expensive part of the paint job, is color sanding and buffing. So that's a step that you can put in or not put in. And there's been cars and trucks that have been in my life that I haven't done the color sand and buff because I didn't care. You know, you got a ranch truck that hauls hay and herds cows. Who cares if you can see your face in the paint? As long as you can see out the windshield, that's all that's important. All right, also, if you are on Facebook, you can go to Mark Salem, and I post automotive stuff there and stuff that helps you, saves you money. You can go to the blog on azcentral.com, and if you can't find it, email me, and I'll send you a link. So there's lots of information out there. Whenever I post on Facebook, it also goes to Twitter, and so I'm tweeting at the same time. But my focus is as I run across stuff that will save you money, run across stuff that you should know, then that's important. I got one of the nicest emails, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, if you want to talk about a car repair problem. I'm here to help you. I was talking this week to a friend of mine that I got a really nice email from someone else, and I was reading it.
2 minutes?
And last week we were talking about the Ford Escape recall, and the cruise control cable will get cocked and lock the throttle, and this little girl in Payson died from it, and there's been others that have been seriously hurt because of it, and there's nothing you can do from inside the car to get it to unstick. You can grab a hold of that throttle pedal all you want and pull up on it. It's not going to make any difference. So this gentleman called or sent me an email, and he says his wife's just getting ready to go out of town. So he went outside, and his car is one of them under a recall. He pulled the engine cover, because one of the funny things we were talking about was is Ford says that we're going to space the engine cover, which is the problem, really. Space it up by putting some washers in there. The problem with that is somebody takes the cover off, the washers fly off, and nobody puts them back on, and now you're back to where you were. So he said he just took the cover off, and he also said to his wife, what are you going to do if the throttle sticks? And she's pretty much like perhaps a lot of people, I'm going to apply the brakes really hard and pull over. He said, no.
1 minute.
I want you to just simply put it in neutral and just coast off the side of the road. You'll have power steering and brakes, and once you get stopped, then turn the key off. So, folks, that's the most important thing. If your throttle ever sticks, put it in neutral. You'll be fine. Your motor will race, but no one cares. And many times from 1996 and up, the computer will not allow the engine to run wild. The computer will not allow the engine to blow itself up, so to speak. So those are the kinds of things that we talk about here.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood, and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk, one size too small. No spark plug wires are
looking. Welcome back, everybody. 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and this is Under the Hood with Mark Salem, where we talk about car repair. And the way to call in is 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. I'm here to give you the very best advice I can. I'm not here to direct you anywhere. I'm not here to do anything other than address your needs. I have nothing to sell you. I'm just here because I enjoy doing this and because I represent lots of good shops in the Valley that have banded together, and we can say without a doubt that we're the very best. And this list, we started this list in 1988, long before all the other lists came. And some of the guys that are on there have been there since 1988, and that's pretty impressive. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair, full-service, family-owned auto repair shop, 38th Avenue and Indian School. So if you think about this, south of Indian School, between the 17 and the 101, that's Larry Harker's area. If you live in that area or work in that area and you want a really good shop, then Bob and Ellen Frisbee, who own Larry Harker's Auto, they're really good people. Again, a couple that runs an auto repair shop. Both very wise, both very well educated, and they know cars like few others. So, 38th Avenue and Indian School, if you don't have a repair shop, then I'm proud to recommend Larry Harker's Auto Repair. One of the things that we do here on the show is we do have people that advertise, and if you have a business, and it can't be car repair, but it can be car related, a car wash, or a window tinting place or something like that, it can be car related, then we allow you to be on the show, but not before we check you out. So we'll come by, we'll shake your hand, we'll talk to you about all your options, and if you have a car related business that's not in the repair paint and body, transmission, that kind of stuff, then we'd be happy to have you tell your story on our show. The easiest way to get a hold of me is go to my website, marksalem.com, marksalem.com. My email address is just as equally easy. It's mark@marksalem.com. So if you have a car question, I'll answer it. I answer it. I don't have anybody else answer them. If you have any concerns, if maybe you feel like that you're being taken advantage of, I can guide you. I can tell you what to say. I can tell you what to ask. This morning I got an email from a gentleman who went out to the northwest corner of the metropolitan area because his mom's car had died. And they took it into a shop and they said the fuel pump was bad. And he got an estimate of $1,200. What he neglected to do was tell me what kind of make, model, and year the car was. I don't know if it has dual exhaust. I don't know if it has a trailer hitch that has to be taken off. I don't know if it's a big tank or if it's a standard size tank. I don't know a lot of things. But I told him I was too out of my comfort zone at the $1,200 bid. But I told him, call the people back and ask them specifically what it is they're bidding for $1,200. Under the best of conditions, it's $500 for the labor and it's $700 for the pump. Well, do I have to buy the whole assembly? Can I just not replace the pump? The sending unit works fine. Well, I could save you $300 that way. Why do you want to put the entire fuel pump and sending unit assembly in the tank when only the fuel pump's bad? Well, because it's in your best interest, because you have 160,000 miles on it. And just as sure as I touch that, 10,000 miles after I put the pump in, the gauge will go crazy, and we'll have to go back in and do the sending units. But it's your call, sir. You can do either one you want. Those are the kinds of things, that kind of level of communication. But everybody in the car repair industry is taught to just give you what you ask for. And let me give you the number again, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Here's how it works. The service writer is going to call you and say, Hi, Mr. Salem, we've identified the reason why your car won't start and you have a bad fuel pump. And that out-the-door price is $1,200. And then that's it. They're trained to just say that. What's the diagnosis? What's the repair cost? Now, I want you to know that you can go further. Tell me, how'd you do the diagnosis? What all did you do? Well, actually, sir, we just fed propane to the engine through the air induction system, and the car starts and runs. We shut the propane off, and it dies. So that means we have a fuel starvation problem. So then we hooked up a pressure gauge, and your fuel pump has 11 pounds of pressure, but it has to have 40. Now, we've checked the pressure regulator. We've pinched it off to make it build pressure. We deadheaded the pump, and it wouldn't deadhead. It wouldn't go over 10. So that's what we're talking about. Okay, now break down the 500 or the 1,200 for me. Well, I have 500 in labor, and I have $700 for the entire assembly. I've got shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax. And I also have, you had it towed in and I paid your tow bill, so I also have $100 in that $1,200 for the tow bill. So that's why I said it's out-the-door price. So at this point, you know that it's, let's say it was, $400 and $600. So we have $1,000, and then he's got tax, and he's got your $100 tow in there, and all that other stuff. So at least you know what the two prices are. Not too long ago, I was in this mess. And we had bid a fuel pump on a van for $965 out the door. And the customer said, I can get it done cheaper all around you. And I said, okay, fine. So I drove it to the shop they told me to, because I actually got it running by just beating on the bottom of the tank. So I jarred the fuel pump enough to where it would work. So I drove it to the other shop. I dropped it off, handed the keys, and here you go. Yeah, I said, this is what I've done. This was our diagnosis, but evidently you're bidding it cheaper. What happened was, is my $965 was out the door. His $910 was no taxes, no shop supplies, no environment. At the end of the day, I still beat his estimate by $5. And he's a friend of mine, so I just said to him, hey, Greg, what'd you charge for that? And I said to him, this is how I bid it, and I had everything. And he goes, yeah, we don't do tax and license. And I said, okay, well, the difference to the customer was $5. It's no big deal. The customer got the same deal either shop. But perhaps he'll change his way, or maybe we'll change our ways. But that's how it works in our industry. You can shop your butt off, but you're not likely to beat a bona fide estimate by more than 20%. But if it's a $2,000 estimate, that's $400. So when do you call for an estimate? I tell my customer that they should call for an estimate when it's out of their comfort zone, and most people, that's $300 or $400. So before you can call an estimate, you've got to find out what the big part and labor is. So in this case, let's pretend again that it was $1,000. It was $600 for the pump assembly and $400 for the labor. So at least you have those two numbers. But then you say to them, well, what's the difference? That only adds up to $1,000 and you want $1,200, and they go blah, blah, blah. So now when you call around, you need to be prepared for this, because people on the phone are bidding. They're going to say, on your vehicle, how many gallons is the tank? I don't know. Well, it makes a difference, because there's a difference of about $60 in labor between the big tank and the small tank. Probably more brackets, more time. Okay. Is there any interference at the tank? Is there any trailer hitch, a class 2, 3, 4, 5 hitch on the back of this? Or are there dual exhaust? I don't know. Well, that's going to be important, too. That's important for us to know.
1 minute.
And then, do you want us to re-diagnose it, or do you want us to use the diagnosis from the other shop? That's a hard question. Because it's absolutely crazy to use the estimate from, or the diagnosis from the other shop. Every shop makes their own diagnosis, so you can hold them to it. You can say to the shop, I don't want no guessing. Mark, I want to know exactly what's wrong. I want you to guarantee that this is going to fix the problem and why the car wouldn't start. That you're not going to sell me a fuel pump and then call me back and tell me I need an ignition module, which clearly tells me that on one hand you thought it was fuel, but now you think it's ignition. So it never did need that fuel pump. Those are the kinds of things that I can help you with. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, I'm here to help you. And when we get back, we're going to talk about other ways for you to protect yourself when it comes to car repair. I'm Mark Salem. We'll be back.
When it comes to replacing the most expensive...
Well, you can get stereo tape and a color TV, get a backseat bar and reclining seats, and just pay once a month like you do your rent. Well, I figured it up, and over a period of time, this $4,000 car of mine cost $14,000.99. Well, now, Lord, Mr. Ford...
Hey, Mark Salem here. It's 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and let's go to the phones, because we've got callers that have some questions, and we're going to start with Alex. Alex, you're up first. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark, thanks. My problem is I got a 2006 Honda Accord, and I got three little dings on the side of my car, right side of my car, and they've been driving me crazy, and I want them to get fixed, but I don't know what I should be looking at to get it fixed.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are they all in the same door?
Well, no.
Okay.
They're from people that are parked next to me, and three little indentations. If you look at my side from an angle, you can see them.
All right. And on the indentations, is the paint damaged or is the paint okay? Is it chipping off of those indentations or not?
On one of them, there's just a slight piece of paint that came off. I mean, a tiny one, but it bothers me.
Okay. All right. If I were you, first of all, let me scare the heck out of you. We usually paint from line to line. So let's say that the door has a molding that goes all the way across the bottom of it. So there's a third of the door below the molding and two-thirds of the door above the molding. Can you picture that?
Yes.
Okay. Each time I damage a door on a customer's car, it costs me $400 to $500.
Really?
And it doesn't make any difference if they're fixing, you know, a hole from a screwdriver. That doesn't happen. But or we dinged it up or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. It's $400 or $500 to fix it and then paint it.
Right.
So the next best thing is those dentless repair guys.
Right.
And
I don't know anything about these guys. So.
I'll tell you what, they are phenomenal. I'm going to tell you, the guy we use is phenomenal. There's
okay.
Other guys out there. But the guy we use has done just magic. He did my daughter's car the other day. Same thing. She had some dings on her door. And he called her out, and I happened to walk out with her. And he says, where did I fix? And neither one of us could find where he fixed.
Wow.
We didn't know where they were at. Now, what they do is they oftentimes will drill a small hole in the door where the latch is.
Right.
And they'll go in with these tools, and I don't know how they do it, but they have the patience of Job. Boop, 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 boop. They work on that thing. They massage it, and pretty soon it's gone. Then they put a rubber plug in the hole. They're done. Goodbye.
Huh. Okay.
So here's what I want you to do. I don't have my phone directory here in front of me.
Okay.
So if you can call me or email, which one do you want?
I'll call you.
Okay. 480-598-1234. Ask anybody who's the dentless paint repair guy you use. And they'll look it up in my phone directory, and they'll say, this is the guy. I don't make a dime off this either, okay? You go deal with him, but I'm telling you, the people we use are the best.
And that was 548-1234?
598.
Oh, 598.
Yeah, it's a Tempe address, 598-1234.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And
bye
this
bye.
Portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair, I-17 in Bell. If you live in that area, give Kurtz a try. You'll understand why I recommend him. He can do anything. He's like me. I can fix anything except a crack of dawn and a broken heart. Kurt says, can I borrow that? And I says, why not? I borrow it from somebody else. Domestic, imports, gas, diesels, big, small, doesn't make any difference. Kurt can fix them. So if you're looking for a shop, I-17 and Bell is the place you ought to go. Bill, you're up next. How are you today?
Fine. How about you?
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, I got a 2000 Ford Expedition.
Okay.
With 75,000 miles on it. 5.4 V8 in it. Once in a while, I pull up to a stop sign and pull out, it'll hesitate. Then sometimes when you pull out, it'll die. Put it in neutral and starts right back up again. But it won't always do it. It might go 2 or 3 days before it does it again.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on. Maybe fuel pump or what it is.
Well, there's a couple of things. Here's what I want you. First of all, I would say to you that there's no way I would charge you. I wouldn't even let you hire me to look at this right now. Because it's not going to be worth it. It's going to be one of those things that we're going to have to guess because we can't get it to happen. And when we start guessing, you know whose money we're using, right?
Right.
Yours.
Yeah.
So here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep the tank above 3/4 for some period of time.
Uh-huh.
See if it does it. Now, then we're going to let the tank, and we're going to go down from, and we're going to run off 1/8 to 1/4.
Uh-huh.
And I want to see if that makes any difference.
Uh-huh.
Now, also, I want you to, when you come up to a traffic light, I want you to come up abruptly and stop, and I want you to accelerate abruptly.
Uh-huh.
And then I want you to come in slow, and I want you to accelerate slow.
Uh-huh.
I want you to figure this out for me. Is it a throttle position sensor?
Uh-huh.
Do we have a fuel pump that's bad? Do we have an EGR valve that's opening too early? You're going to help me diagnose this. You're going to save yourself hundreds of dollars if you can walk in.
Uh-huh.
And say, you have to come to an abrupt stop. Otherwise, you come in fast and just hit the brakes. And then you wait till the light turns green and you just nail her. Don't go to the floor 3/4 of the throttle. It'll go, whoa. And we say, fine. So it's fuel in the tank. It's sloshing around back there. Oh, and it makes a difference. Da-da-da. So you work hard to identify how can I get this to happen and under what condition. Is the air on or off? Is it cold or hot? Those kinds of things will save you lots and lots of money. But it could be a throttle position sensor. It could be that you just need your throttle blades cleaned up after 80,000 miles. And the throttle blades are under $50. Most guys will charge you under $50, and oftentimes that will take care of it. If you want to do it yourself, just go to my website, marksalem.com, look at the FAQs, and we discuss cleaning your throttle blades. Basically, you're going to take the ductwork off the front of the intake. You're going to have the throttle body there. You're going to spray some carburetor cleaner in and around it, and you're going to take a screwdriver and put a rag over the end of it, and you're going to polish the bore and polish the flaps on the throttle body. Save yourself a lot of money, but you don't want to get a lot of liquid inside there because then you'll seize up that motor and bend a rod, and then you're real in big trouble. Okay, when we come back, Tom, you'll be my next caller. Everybody else, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. This is Under the Hood here on KKNT.
Mark Salem, to you. His name is Tom Fletcher.
Most Friday nights, I can be found in the bed of my truck on an old Chase Lounge. Backed into my spot at the driving
show. Welcome back, everybody.
Show.
45 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We still got time to talk to you if you want to call us and have a car question. 602-508-0960. And this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. Bob has been around since wooden wheel wagons. Bob has been around. He may have been there when Jesus was born. I don't know. But with that kind of experience and that kind of knowledge, he can fix transmissions. And he's not going to sell you a rebuild each time. And he's not going to ask you to take out a car loan. That doesn't happen. He's a good guy and he knows what to do. Quality Transmission is in Tempe. Bob or Steve can help you out. They have many years of experience, and they are happy to dual drive your car for you for free. When they bring it in and put it on the lift, the money starts. But driving it and talking to you, that's free. All righty, and Bill, real quick, before we go to Tom, Bill, real quick, if I was charged with the responsibility of checking your car out, what I would do is I'd go drive it and see if I could get it to happen, but I'd have a scanner plugged in so I could watch what was happening. I'd also verify the throttle position sensor, its operation. I'd make sure that it was within the parameters I know to be correct. TPS values. That's not something you can get from a code reader. You have to step it up. You have to get a scanner to read that information. And it's going to give you a number like 0.088, and you have to know if that's good enough or not. And that's where experience comes in. I'd probably disconnect the EGR valve for a couple days and have you drive it. It'll set a check engine light, but I don't care. I just want to know, does it happen again? And then I'd probably look at the throttle blades and say, well, probably that. But I wouldn't sell you a $200 engine flush, and I wouldn't guess with your money, but you would spend probably $100 to have me scan it, scope it, look at the fuel pressure, and then drive it and try to get it to happen by manipulating different things in the motor. So that's why I don't want you to spend that money. Just wait till it gets worse. It'll be easier to find. And so far, it hasn't left you hanging, and that's a good news because chances are it won't. It'll start right up every time. Tom, you're up next. Tom, how can I help you today?
Morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Wife's car, the passenger side, the driver's side back rear window quit working.
Okay.
Where do we go from here?
Well, it's really simple. All the switches that control that, which is two, the master switch up front and the back window switch, you make sure that it doesn't work on either one of those switches.
Work on either one.
Okay, you're going to pull the door panel off. Now, there are two wires to the motor. And if positive is connected to number one and negative and ground is connected to number two, that's up. And then when we flip those two wires the other way, that's down.
Okay.
So when you get the door panel off, the first thing I want you to do is start the car up. You'll probably have the air running anyway. And I want you to take the wooden handle of a hammer and reach over to the switch and try to make it go down. But don't hold the switch any longer than the count of three or four. 1001, 1002. 1003, 1004. While you do that, with your right hand, take your left hand and the hammer handle, the wooden handle, and hit the motor a couple times. If all of a sudden the window drops down, then you have bad brushes in the motor and you need to replace it. Now, I'll take a test light and I'll hook the ground strap into one side, one wire going to the motor, and I'll hook the ice pick part into the other side of the motor. That clearly tells me that I have continuity. Then I'll work the switch. And if I work the switch and it lights going up, and if I work the switch and it lights going down, I know the switches are okay. I know I have power and ground to the pump or to the window motor. It isn't working. That's the easy part. It's hard to get the window and the regulator out to replace the... And you're going to say bad words, and you're going to draw blood, and you're going to cuss. Okay? I promise you.
Okay, what are you going to charge me to do that?
Well, I'm going to charge you $100 just to take the door panel on and off, but you got to be ready to do whatever it needs. Now, I'm going to run some switches, tests on the switches, too, to make sure that I got power and ground and then reverse polarity before I pull the door panel off. But basically, I'm halfway there by the time I diagnose it. You don't want me to button it back up and then come back and charge you again, so you have to be ready. And then you're going to say to me, Mark, give me worst-case scenario. Well, if the regulator's broken or if the motor's bad, and I'm going to shoot from the hip here, don't hold me to this, $325 is your worst case scenario. And you say, okay, that's worst case? Yeah, that's worst case. I might get in there and find one of the rivets is broken. All I'm going to do is a little carriage bolt, put it through the two holes, drill them out just a little bit, put the carriage bolt through there and fix it just that. So now you got 100 in and out, and you got $20 to drill it and put a carriage bolt where the rivet was bad. Okay?
Sounds good to me.
All right, it's not my place, too. Go to MarkSalem.com and look at a shop near your area. We all work the same, okay? All righty. Jim, you're up next. Jim, how can I help you?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
2002 GMC Yukon, all-wheel drive, about 160,000 miles on it. Front differential's leaking. I don't really need all-wheel drive. I'd like to eliminate that, just make a rear-wheel drive, but I've told it's pretty impossible to do because supposedly it's controlled electronically and 60% go to the rear and 40% power goes to the front. So everybody's been telling me, nah, you're wasting your time. What do you think?
It's true. The transfer case his job is to separate the power from the engine. So sometimes if it sees that it needs more power on the front, it'll send a lot of power to the front or a lot of the power to the back if you take the front drive shaft out of it. Now, the differential's going to leak no matter what because the axles and the tires are still connected to the differential. So even if you took the front drive shaft out of it, you'd still have a leak. But you can't in an all-wheel drive because then the transfer case goes, oh my goodness, the front doesn't have a load on it. Let me apply all the power to the front. The car won't move. So you really do have to fix the leak. Now, I think your mind is thinking to itself, this is going to be a really big repair. Now, a really big repair on the front end of that all-wheel drive Yukon is going to be $1,200, $1,500, $1,800, depending on the damage inside. But the more normal repairs could be $200, $300, and $400.
Okay.
So, I mean, you got a big window there. What part of town are you in?
West. West side.
Okay. Where? Give me a north and south kind of directions.
Bell Road and Dysart Road.
Okay. Well, Thunderbird Auto's out there at 88th Avenue and Thunderbird. Auto Dynamics is out there at 103. Yeah, 103 Avenue and Grand. You got Pete Nelson out there at 103 and Olive. You got Sun Transmission out there at Grand and 83rd Avenue. These guys can do that work. And what you want to do is you want to say, I'd like to make an appointment, have it come in. I want you to look at this oil leak, and I want you to give me a written estimate. Don't you dare let them just write a number down. You just say, what exactly? Well, I got a seal, and I've got fluid, and I've got this gasket, and then here's the labor, here's the shop supplies, minor balance charges, here's your sales tax. That's your estimate.
Uh-huh.
And then you put it in your pocket. Most of the time, if we're going to look with our eyes, and it's going to take less than 3 or 4 minutes to look with our eyes, we're not going to charge you for that. But if we have to take things apart to find out whether it's this seal or that seal, you're going to get charged for that. But you can take it someplace else and say, hey, take a look at this for me. What do you think? Oh, that seal right there is bad, which is what the first guy said. Oh, yeah, we do lots of that. That's really easy. Can you shoot from the hip for me? Yeah, $300. Well, the other guy was $300. Now you're feeling pretty good. Okay?
All right.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All righty. 602-508-0960.
Next caller, Scott.
Scott, you're up next. How are you today?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I got a question about aftermarket restoration parts.
Okay.
And specifically, let's say I want to do a rear brake conversion, and I'm talking vehicles that are like in the 70s.
Okay.
And restoration parts in general for those type of years, when those parts need to be replaced, do I go back to, do they make those parts for, are those parts factory GM replacement parts?
Okay.
What I'm getting at.
What you're saying is if I use a replacement part that I find over the internet, am I going to be able to release it? Is that the same part that the application book calls for?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
But I want to tell you something. I'm proud to tell you that I built 2 '70 Chevelle Supersports.
Nice.
And I put air in one of them, and one of them was national winner 4 years.
Wow.
And it pointed 993 out of 1,000, and they kept marking me down for non-rear spiral shocks, but I didn't care. You got to give them something to hang their hat on.
Next up, Kelly.
So I just kept those non-spiral shocks on there, and I always pointed 993. But let me tell you something. You need to be careful. For instance, rubber components on your 70, whatever you're looking for.
Right.
There's 25 people out there that sell them, but Soft Seal makes all of them. So
yeah.
You want to go to Soft Seal. Another thing is there's nothing on a 70 car that we can't buy from Moog, from Goodyear.
Right.
Those kinds of things. So sometimes these restoration parts are just boxed differently, but it's the same thing. If you're looking for ball joints, it's the same thing. And on your springs, you want to keep your drum brakes, right?
Well, let's say that I want to replace my 73 Chevy pickup that has rear drum brakes to disc brakes.
Okay, then you're going to have to do a couple things. First of all, you're going to end up doing a booster and a master change.
Okay.
Because when you got disc brakes on both, the cavities in the master cylinder have to be the same size. Right now, you have a large cavity for the front brakes and a small cavity for the back brakes. That's not going to work with four-wheel disc. So now you've got a booster and a master cylinder that you would buy from a chassis that had disc brakes. You might have to go up a couple years. Now you're going to need a proportioning valve.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you can get one adjustable. And when you do, after you have said lots of bad words, you can bring it to a shop like I can send you to, and they'll put some gauges on there and they'll dial that in for you because you're not going to be able to dial it
in.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So then, and then you got to go, what are you going to do with the parking brake?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you transfer those drums off and put disc on there, you've got some re-engineering to do in that car, but every single part there is a part that's available today.
Okay, fantastic.
All righty.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time, Mark.
No problem, no problem. All righty, Scott, you're up next, buddy. What can we do for you?
Kelly's up.
Oh, Kelly. Gosh darn it. I'm sorry. Kelly, good morning.
2 minutes.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I have an 02 Ford Escort. It's got 150,000 miles on it, and it shakes like the dickens, and I had it tuned up, and it still shakes pretty bad.
Okay, I don't have much time. Let me make some guesses here real quick. I want you to sit in the car in drive, and I bet it shakes. Your foot's on the brake, the car's not moving, and it's shaking, right?
Correct.
I want you to put it into neutral, close your eyes, and then I want you to put it in reverse and close your eyes. And I want to know if the vibration changes any at all between reverse, neutral, and drive in a stationary position.
It does change in neutral.
Okay, then you have bad motor mounts. And all that tune-up was for nothing. So as you rock that front-wheel drive motor forward and backward, now when I put it in drive, I'm going to rock the motor forward. The back's going to lift up, the front's going to dive. And when I put it in reverse, it's just the opposite. We're twisting the motor the other way. So if you've got a vibration in drive and it goes away in reverse, it's we're picking that motor mount off. They're metal to metal. So we're picking that motor mount off and we're separating it. It's going to be the front lower mount, I can tell you that much right now.
That's a hard one to get to, isn't it?
No, it is. And on a 1 to 10 scale, that's a 2 or 3 for my guys. But in your garage, on your back with your wife yelling at you and not getting you iced tea, then it might be a little bit more difficult. All right?
All righty.
Good luck to you, buddy. And
thank you.
If anybody has an email and I missed you, mark@marksalem.com. I'm happy to help you. mark@marksalem.com. But it's just like Kelly said. If you've got a shake, then just tell us it's the shake. Because my first question out of my mouth would have been, does the steering wheel shake left and right or up and down? But then he said he did a tune-up, and I knew it was a motor mount at that point because the tune-up didn't fix it. So wear your seatbelt, drive safely, behave yourself, and email. My email is mark@marksalem.com. God bless you. I'll see you next Saturday.
Hi, this is Steve Blubber with the Retirement.